tonight. We sing a good one this morning as well. It was good. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I'll go ahead and ask you to open up your Bibles, if you will, the book of John. In John chapter 20, just momentarily. That'll be page number 1125. If you're using a pew Bible tonight, page 1125. And if you're using anything else, I can't help you. I'm going to say John chapter 20. John chapter 20. We'll be there in just a moment. It is the night, it is the Easter as we call it, the Resurrection Sunday as it's referred to. We're here today remembering and recognizing the resurrected Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Roman Empire had crucified millions of people. They reused crosses, which most people, they keep thinking that one cross was made for one person. That's not what it was. Many a times it was just a cross beam that was used, that was nailed to the hands of the person was nailed to him, and that cross beam was hung up on a living tree. And so there was millions of people that were crucified by the Roman Empire. They were laid in the grave. They were cast in a field. They were done away with. They were put here or put there. There was only one of them 3 days later that came up out of the grave.
Right.
Walked out on his own, and that's a man named Jesus Christ. They came to the quiet garden in the early morning gloom. There in the shadow of darkness, they found an empty tomb. They brought their scented spices to anoint the hallowed dead, found to their amazement the living Lord instead. Their hearts were heavy laden, bowed down with deep despair. When they lifted their tear-dimmed eyes, lo, Jesus was standing there. They thought all hope had ended with Calvary's dying breath, but they found a powerful Savior triumphant over death. On that wonderful morning in the garden sweet with dew, He came from the grave, a world to save, to live and reign anew. So all through the midst of sorrows, we hope, when hope seems cold and dead, with lifted eyes, we too may see an empty tomb instead. Guys, I've been there. My wife and I have been there. We've seen it. It's empty.
Amen.
The stone has rolled away. And as our tour guide said, it kept rolling away. Otherwise, we'd probably have been out of it. The tomb is empty because He has risen today. Open your Bibles to John chapter 20. Begin with me and read it with me in verse 1. We will read to verse 6. If you will, if you are able to and willing to, tonight, I ask you to stand. We honor the reading of the Word of God. I know that we have stood and sat. But you'll be able to sit for a spell here when we finish reading this. And we'll ask the Lord's blessing upon His service tonight continually. But we ask you now to read verse 1 of John chapter 20. The Bible says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre. And seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, came first to the sepulchre, and he stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying. Yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the clothes, but wrapped together in place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the Scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we do pray again, a special blessing upon the reading of thy words. We pray that you bless this message now to our hearts, our minds, Lord, our souls. We pray. Make a magnificent difference in the lives of people, Father. We just want to see a difference made, Lord, by the power and might of the Holy Spirit, God. And we ask that you do it tonight. So, Father, we love you and we thank you, Lord God. And we ask you now to please take the reins of this service, Lord, that we step to the side in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Please be seated. It is of truth tonight, and always will be, the salvation is of our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is defined by a period with the name of Jesus, not a comma. It is defined as an empty tomb. It is defined as the fact that Jesus has risen from the grave. When I begin to survey the cross, I see what the Father had to do He had to turn his back upon his only begotten Son. He that knew no sin. He that committed no sin. He that was perfect in all ways, yet tempted just like we are. He that came to this earth and lived a perfect life had become sin on that cross of Calvary in order to pay the ultimate price for sin. When I examine the sealed grave, I see the power of death that reigns upon mankind in this world today. But when I search the empty tomb, when I look at the tomb that is empty and understand the fact that He has risen today, I see the power the grave is stripped of its strength and left impotent tonight before the risen, glorified Savior, Jesus Christ, who has taken the sting of death and removed it as far as the east is from the west. Now you may have read that scripture that the Lord has taken our sins and separated them as far as the east and the west. And I've heard people use illustrations. They said, how far is the east and west? And they've done this right here. It's this far, symbolizing Jesus Christ upon the cross. But there's a reason He separates our personal sins from Himself and our personal sins from us as far as the east is from the west. It's because you can keep going east and you will never in your life go west again. You can keep going west and you'll never in your life go east again. But when you continue to go north, you'll eventually come back south. If you go south, you'll eventually come back north. So He has separated our sins, our transgressions, what we have done directly against Him. He has done with it. He has separated them from us as far as they ever could be. I see the stone of doubt that is rolled away from the empty tomb. I see the stone of darkness that is rolled away from this empty tomb. I see the stone of death that is rolled away from the empty tomb, never to reign in people's lives again. We have sorrow upon sorrow in this world today, and we see tragedies and crimes and death and sickness and pain and families and hurt and all these things that happen in our world today. We see them happening over and over and over, and we lose loved ones. We lose family members. And we see tragedies coming to people's lives. But I'll tell you this, the death and the grave has been stripped of its bondage upon our life. It has been stripped of its power. It's been stripped of its victory. The sting of death today has been taken away because Jesus Christ has been risen from the grave. It's in an empty tomb this evening that we can realize the ultimate gift that was given by the Father, the ultimate gift that was exercised in His Son. Jesus Christ, the fact that He has risen from the grave, you know what we can do tonight, what you and I can do today, what we can do in our life. Number one, we can be settled upon this truth. Look at verse 1 there again with me. It says, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene, early when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre." I want you just to imagine with me, just for a second here. 3 days and 3 nights have transpassed. Has transpired. Mary had wept. Mary had cried at the apparent loss of the one who had delivered her from such a wicked life. I mean, this Mary Magdalene here, tradition holds that she was a prostitute, but we understand that we do know for a fact, according to Scripture, that she was possessed by seven devils. Seven devils had a hold of her, man. Seven devils had a control of her life. They abused her. They tore her up. They made her life a living torment. And then all of a sudden, Jesus shows up and delivers her from the control of these demons, delivering her away from all of this turmoil that she had been living. And so here she sees her Savior, her Messiah, her victor, die on the cross, and they anoint His body. They lay Him in the sepulcher of Joseph of Arimathea, where never a man had laid before, so it could fulfill prophecy. They lay Him down in that tomb, and she comes back in the wee hours of the first day of the week. The sun is barely even up yet. It's still yet dark while it is yet night, the Bible says. And she goes up there and she looks. And she sees that stone was rolled away. She looks over there and she says, "My soul, He's not in there again." And this is what we find. According to Luke's account, in Luke 24, you don't need to turn there. She's asked this question, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" You see, they were looking for the Lord. They showed up while it was early in the morning. They were looking for Him in the wrong place. You see, they were looking for Him where He wasn't going to be because He wasn't yet dead. He was yet alive. The sheer fact that Christ rose from the grave is a sign of mercy. It's a sign of the mercy of God to all of mankind and allows us today to be settled in the fact of God's mercy and His victory over the grave. Here's something that I want to encourage everyone in here tonight to know. There are some things in this life that you just can't be sure about. There are some things that you can't be settled on. There's some things I'm settled on tonight, and you're not moving me. There is not a person on the face of this planet that is going to move me away from certain ideologies and positions. First of all, I know that if I die today, I'm going to heaven. I'm settled on that. Not because of anything I've done. And you're not going to change me of that. I had a meeting here a while back with some other preachers who they're of a different stripe than we are, and they believe some things that we don't believe. And in all fairness, they're just not our stripe. And nevertheless, good men. I was sitting there chatting with them. And I just told them, I said, there's some things that we can take that Bible right there. And I understand, guys, we're going to disagree about. We're not going to agree on these things. I said, but there's some things in there for me. I'm not changing. Right. And I don't care if 7.2 billion people in the world go one direction. I'm not going because I am settled in those facts tonight. Here's the reason I'm settled tonight. Here's the reason, as we heard this morning, that we can rest in Christ as our Sabbath. I'm settled tonight because He walked up out of that grave.
Right.
We were down there in Cork the other day, and those I don't know what, DC had a sign on her or something, because they came after her. Out of all of us there, they went directly after her. And, of course, they was in Welsh, and I guess they heard of the American accent, and he was holding up his little book there. And I said, no, we're okay, buddy. We're saved, born again Christians, believers today. We don't need, oh, do you know anything about us? I said, yeah, I know too much. When I said too much, he went, oh, really, too much? Yeah. And I said, yeah, I know too much about you. And I mean, so he got a little perky there for just about a half a second. And then the next thing, I just turned and I said, listen, the Bible tells me, the Apostle Paul said that if anybody brings unto you another gospel, let him be accursed. And the chap behind him, because they always have a young guy and another guy that's a little more mature there in their belief. The chap behind him going, he's shaking his head, yeah, this guy's going, oh, wow, this guy just quoted scripture. You know, it was amazing, and we just walked on. I'm not going to fall into that trap. I'm not going to fall into that, well, let's believe another gospel. Let's look at another thing. And look, Jesus Christ didn't go to America. Jesus Christ didn't give another testament. That's contrary to Scripture, amen.
Right.
Be settled tonight on what you believe. Be settled where you are. I'm settled this evening that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He was buried in a grave. By the way, He was buried in a grave on a Wednesday. Let's just get that out of the way. Because I don't care what kind of math you use. You ain't get 3 days, 3 nights from Friday to Sunday. That just doesn't happen. Hallelujah. So we understand He was buried at sundown on Wednesday. 3 nights went by. 3 days went by. Sundown on Saturday night, He came up out of the grave. You said, wait a second. I thought it was a Sunday when He rose up. Hebrew calculation of time, their day starts on our night. So Saturday night, when the sun goes down, on Saturday begins their Sunday or their first day of the week, because they honor the Sabbath from sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday. So that the scripture lines up perfectly. I'm settled tonight that my Savior died on that cross, that He gave His blood for you and I, and I'm settled this evening that He's risen yet this evening. So I used to preach on Easter in the morning time, so I'm going to get the days and hours mixed up, so forgive me. So the fact that Jesus Christ is risen tonight enables you and I to believe on His strength. Point number two. We are settled upon His strength because Jesus Christ is risen. Something that we have never been able to have until this moment. Look at verses 2 and read these verses again with me that we've already read. The Bible says that she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. And that's John that he's referring to. And saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid Him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down, and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, and yet he went not in. And then comes Simon Peter, following at him. Went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie. Jesus Christ first did not have to die for us. Please understand that here this evening. He did not have to die. He did not have to give us assurance over death and hell. He didn't have to do that and rise from the grave, because He's strong enough that if He wanted to, He could wipe it all out. He could start it over if He wanted to. But He understood that He had to maintain exactly what is written in the Holy Scriptures, His own word. But He didn't have to give us freedom from and liberty from the bondage of sin. He didn't have to do those things, but He did because He loved us. We're settled tonight and we're resting in His strength to see them because He has risen from the grave. And we can have comfort in this world, seemingly in a world that's sometimes just gone mad. We can have His strength and His power, not only over the grave, but we can have Christ's strength and power in our own lives today. You know, one of the things that we can have when we look at the empty tomb, when we look at the empty grave, we can understand forgiveness. We can understand why Jesus Christ was willing to give His life for you and I. We can understand when He looked down and saw a group of people who, man, just going about like sheep, having not a shepherd. And the fact that Jesus Christ has risen, we can see, number one, forgiveness is product. If you can turn in your Bibles, if you got them with you real quick, hold your place in John. But if you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 real quick, just a couple books to your right, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We can see the product of forgiveness in the fact that He has risen from the grave tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And if you're there, we're going to begin in verse 7. The Bible says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 7. The Bible says here, so that contrariwise you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. The product of Christ's resurrection is the forgiveness of sins. It's not only the forgiveness of our personal sins and our personal transgressions against the Lord Himself, but it's the ability to forgive others just as Christ has forgiven us. Man, we live in a world today that, man, if people... if they held on to certain things like they hold on to grudges, they'd never let go. But I mean, you know, we find now, through the fact that Jesus Christ has risen from the grave, we can understand how He has forgiven us. And we can take that same forgiveness and forgive others. The product of forgiveness is seen in His resurrection. Look there in verse 8 and 10. We see the position of forgiveness. Notice there in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. The position of Christ's resurrection is that of forgiveness, my friend. In the shadow of our own forgiveness, we can see that we can confirm our love one toward another. We can confirm our love toward those that may have wronged us. We can confirm our love to those that have done things against ourselves. We can support and help one another and love one another and confirm that love. This is the beauty of the cross. It's justified. And it's the strength of the resurrection where we are assured. But not only the product, the position of forgiveness, but thirdly, we see the purpose of forgiveness. Look at verse 11. Purpose of forgiveness in 2 Corinthians 2. Lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Man, the purpose of forgiveness is to enable us to deter Satan from obtaining an advantage over each and every one of us. And guys, we're not ignorant to the devil's devices. My friend, it is imperative that we survey the empty tomb. It is imperative that we understand the fact that Jesus Christ has risen from the grave. Millions were crucified. Millions have been killed. Millions have been cremated and spread their ashes upon the world. Millions have been buried in a grave. Millions have been put in the crypts. Millions have died in this world's existence. But one of them came up out of the grave. And that's Jesus Christ.
Right.
You say, well, what about Lazarus? He came up in the power and might of Jesus Christ. We'll get to him here shortly. So yeah, we have much against us today. God's going to tell you this, man. We may have so much against us. We have so much more for us. We have so much more for us. 1 John 4:4 says, you are God's little children and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If you're here tonight, you're saved and born again of the blood of Christ, I am telling you here this evening, just like the brother saying here just a moment ago, that it's under the blood. You have something greater inside of you than any opponent, than any enemy, than any sin, than any transgression, than any bitterness, than any unforgiveness that this world can ever throw out at you. It is a power, guys, that if you just grab a hold of, you would understand that purpose, that position. You would understand, guys, that product of the resurrected Christ. The Apostle Paul said, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I've had people come to me and they say, preacher, I'm just too far gone. I've just done too much. I've just done this, I've done that. And I've told them, it doesn't matter the level of sin. It doesn't matter what the sin. It doesn't matter where the sin. And for that matter, it doesn't matter who the sin. Because where sin abounded, the grace of God did much more, therefore, abound. Beloved, I'm here to tell you tonight, Jesus Christ died for you. But He didn't just die for you. He didn't just hole up in a grave for you. He got up out of that grave for you and I. I've said this several times, and I just love it. When Jesus stood there silent, and Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, kept talking to him, and he wouldn't answer a word, And Pilate said, man, understand that I'm not, that I have the power to deliver thee, or the power to kill thee. Christ looked at him and says, the only power you have comes from above.
Right.
And by the way, I like this. I'm going to paraphrase it. Just bear with me, my father. He says, I'm going to lay my life down. And if I lay it down, I'm going to take it up again. Amen.
Yes, sir.
I just like that. I love it. I wish I'd tell you guys, there's just some things when I read about in the scriptures here. I hope and pray when we get to heaven, there's a DVD up there or something, we can go back and see some of these things that happen. I'd love to see what Pilate's face was like. Oh, man. And husbands, I'll tell you what, sometimes you can listen to your wife. If Pilate would listen to his wife, he would have got himself in trouble. She said, have enough, no dealings with this man. I was troubled all night long, but he didn't listen to her, amen. He was too ambitious. His resurrection, guys, we see the power, the product, the position, the purpose of forgiveness. His resurrection has its purpose, which is forgiveness, and we see the power of forgiveness. Look at verse 14. There still in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14 tells us, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and make it manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are a savor of death unto death, and to the other a savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which are corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Beloved, that tomb was empty that day. That tomb is empty today. And because of that tomb being empty, the acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart today, our life can come up before God as a sweet savor. Just like those incense that are lit, and that sweet savor comes up, that sweet smell. You say, preacher, what about the hard times? When you trust in Christ, as a matter of fact, if you look at that church age in Revelation, you don't have to turn there. That second church age, that Smyrnian church age, the word Smyrna means myrrh. Now, myrrh is an incense. If you take myrrh, and you were to, I don't know why you would, but let's just say if you did, you touch it to your tongue, it tastes horrible. It's one of the nastiest things that you could ever taste. It's just nasty. But if you crush myrrh, like in the art of the apothecary, you crush it and it gets to dust, the smell that it sends forth is a sweet savor. So even though that church age was persecuted and many of them were killed for the name of Christ and they suffered many things, they stuck to the stuff, they stuck to the book, they served the Lord, and even in hard times, their life came before God as a sweet smelling savor. We can be settled tonight in His strength. The vacant tomb tonight not only reveals the product, position, the purpose of His power of forgiveness, but it gives us the rest that we need. It allows us to settle as a soul. It allows us to settle in our mind, in our heart, in our soul this evening as to what God would have us to do and what we need to believe in tonight. But thirdly and lastly, go back to the book of John. The fact that He is risen from the grave tonight, you and I can have security. In reality, guys, if we look at our life this evening, if we look at our world, there's very few things that you can be secure in. You can't be secure in the bank for the economy could flop tonight and lose everything you have. In reality, you can't be secure in our businesses because, again, the economy can flop. You can't be secure that you're going to go out to your car tonight and turn the key and it start up. You can't be secure in those things. But in the fact that Jesus Christ is risen from the grave, you have security tonight, something that you can't lose because you can't earn it. Security is, you may ask, what in the world is security? Both in the Old and New Testaments, they're filled with promises of Christ's return to this earth. As a matter of fact, there are 1,845 references in the Old Testament and a total of 17 Old Testament books that give preeminence and prominence to the return of Jesus Christ. Of the 260 chapters in the entire New Testament, there are 318 references on the second coming of Christ. And that's one out of 30 verses in the entire book, or entire New Testament. 23 of the 27 New Testament books refer to this great event of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said over there in the book of John, and I'll flip over there just real quick in verse 1. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." If you look there in John 20, where we are in our text this evening, John 20, verse 7, the Bible says, "And the napkin was about his head, not lying with linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed." You say, why is that important tonight, to have the security of your heart that Christ is coming back? Why is that important to us? I want you to read a passage of Scripture from the screen here, and I'm going to paint a picture for you here this evening, but we're going to be done. But when Jesus Christ came to the tomb of his dear friend Lazarus in John chapter 1, and he cried in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot, watch this, with grave clothes. His face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him. Let him go." Those grave clothes was the wrapping that was normal for the Jews to wrap the dead to bury in the sepulcher. Just so you have the idea of what a sepulcher is. A sepulcher is like a cave. It's an empty grave. It's a hewn out wall inside of a mountain. And essentially what the Jews did is they would bury their dead there, they would wrap them in grave clothes, and then once the body, once the flesh had all fallen off, they would typically take what was left of the bones, still in the grave clothes, and they would bury them in the ground. That was what was normal practice. That's why when the Scripture says that they laid his body in a sepulcher where never a man had laid, because these sepulchers were reused after the bodies were removed and buried. That grave clothes, my friend, is a picture of death. It's a picture of bondage. If you can just play with me a little bit in your mind, when Jesus stood outside of that sepulcher of Lazarus, he said, "Lazarus, come forth." First of all, he called him by name, because if had he not, every dead body in that whole mountainside would have came out. Christ said, "Lazarus, come forth," and he came out. And in the Scripture, it says that he was bound, and Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." Those grave clothes is a picture of death. It's a picture of bondage. It's a picture of the sin that you and I are born with that has us bound, where we can't help ourselves outside of Jesus Christ. Lazarus was bound in those grave clothes, yet he lived because Christ brought him forth. I picture him walking out like this. Christ said, "Loose him, man. Cut him loose." And he cut him loose, and yet did live. When they came to Christ's sepulcher, when they came to his grave, the Bible is specific that the grave clothes are cast to the side. I used this illustration once before when I was preaching in Mexico, and it's a little bit wilder down there than it would be here in the United Kingdom, and I won't even start that because you guys probably not come back. I'm just kidding a little bit. But I've taken my jacket off, and I said, "You cast those grave clothes," and I just chucked that thing way across the sanctuary over there. And several hundred people in the church that day. The Bible says the napkin was laying there, wrapped up, folded up where his head was. Right? So picture with me, if you will, probably what most of the kids' bedrooms look like. All those clothes, they're just cast to the side over here on the floor somewhere. They're not important. Christ was done with those. Those were good for 3 days and 3 nights, and then he was finished. He said, "Well, I'm done with these, so let's throw those back." But why in the world would he take that napkin that was on faith and just fold it up? Take the time to fold it up and set it back where his head was. In most cultures today, if you go to a restaurant. Now, guys, you know, in America, this doesn't work. It doesn't matter. But most cultures, when somebody is eating, especially in olden times, when the servant would stand by, the servant would stand here. Let's say the table's over there. The servant would stand here, and he would watch. And he'd watch as the people would eat, and as they would eat their food. And when they would finish, and they would wipe their face, and they'd take their napkin, and they'd just throw it down on top of the plate, wad it up. That was a signal. I'm done. I'm finished. And the servant could come take the plates. But if the diner was going to get up and go somewhere and yet come back, he'd take his napkin. He'd just fold it up and he would lay it down. Beloved, we have security tonight. Jesus Christ is coming back. I believe he's coming back soon. Not only because he promised it, not only because there's 1,800 plus prophecies that it's going to happen. It's primarily dealing with the second coming, not the one of the year, but that's another story. But on that day, our Savior left a message for all the world. On that day, our Savior left a message for his disciples when they walked in that grave, and it was a folded napkin that was on his face. And all he's saying is, I'll be back. So we can be settled tonight in the risen Savior. We can be settled in his strength tonight. But our Master, our Messiah, our Savior comforts us today in the empty grave. Settles us in his strength, and gives us security that, hey, I'll be back. I'm coming back for you. So friend, the Lord is going to come back. D.L. Moody said this, and I'm finished. He said, the devil does not want us to see the truth concerning the return of the Lord. He said, for nothing would wake up the church so much. The moment a person takes hold of the truth that Jesus Christ is coming back to receive his friends to himself, the world loses its hold upon him. Imagine today if our only hope is that what we dealt with every single day in our life? Imagine today if our only hope was our relatives, our finances, our health. Imagine if that was our only hope today. I'm thankful this evening. I love my family. I love my friends. I love them dearly. Would I die for any one of them in here tonight? My security, my strength, and I'm settled tonight because my Savior loved me enough. Someone who was unlovable, not worthy of his compassion, not worthy of his grace, much less not worthy of his life, chose to come and bear my iniquities upon his cross, lay down his life for his friend, and said, I'm going to take it up again. I leave you with this tonight, my friend. Jesus Christ, he is risen from the grave. And that is the power, that is the rest, that is the settlement that you and I have tonight, and in nothing else. And it's this simple. Believe it on him as your Lord and Savior. Trust in him. Ask in him the forgiveness of your sins tonight. And he comes into your sin side. And you're settled for all eternity. But it's more than that. He said he came to give us life, life more. Bow your heads if you will tonight. Father in heaven, we thank you, Father, for the patience of the people this evening. We thank you, dear God, for every soul that is here. Father in heaven, we do exclusively thank you for giving us your only begotten Son, the Son of God. We thank you for his precious blood that has paid the price for us all. Lord, my prayer tonight is this, that anyone within earshot of this message, whether it be online, whether it be next week, next month, next year, wherever it be live, Lord, whatever it may be, if there be one person tonight in need of salvation, one person tonight that would look into themselves and see Christ and what he's done, they would bow their heart before the throne of grace and ask the Lord to save them, to come inside of them. we want to help.